Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good evening, Mr. President.
Thank you very much.
I have to say, you have a great smile.
Gotcha.
Okay. So, he does. You're so handsome when you smile.
She just kept going with it. And, Savannah Guthrie got up and then punched her in the face. It was really unbecoming to see that kind of a cat fight in the middle of a town hall. But, you know, that was...
That wasn't Savannah Guthrie saying that? Because I...
Savannah Guthrie hunted that woman down.
Yes. Oh, okay.
That wasn't in the script! What are you doing? So we watched a town hall last night. I watched the Trump town hall, and then I watched the second 30 minutes of the Biden town hall, and then I watched Tucker, and then I watched Hannity, and then I watched some Shannon Bream, and it got to the point where it got late enough last night that I was trying to catch up on everything because there's so much going on that I thought, you know what, I'm just going to stay up and I'm going to watch all of these shows tonight, and then I'm going to sleep tomorrow morning or when I'm dead. It is what it is at this point. I'm tired.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wearing a hat today, and I wasn't even sure how this was going to work out. But it's gotten to the point where I don't care.
Looks good.
Did Tucker have any bomb drops like he said he was going to?
Yes.
He did?
Massively.
Okay.
Massively.
Okay.
Like, okay.
I didn't watch.
So I saw a tweet. I guess it was either from Tucker. I think someone sent it to me that Tucker had put out. And it was like major... exclusive email reveal, and he walked us through it. I have all the sound. You want to hear what he said last night?
Yes.
If you're ready, I'd love to hear it.
I'm okay with it. Okay. I mean, we can honestly do whatever you want today.
let's
want to talk about polls for 3 hours?
Let's do polls and then re-air Tucker.
Okay. I mean, like, it might be the best show that we ever do.
That's where we all are in the week.
Yeah.
It's officially jumped the shark for me because I know so much information, but I'm taking naps now, so I can't tell people.
on the
breaks. Is it daytime right now? I said to Katie, I go, I forgot to pick music for today. So if you love the music, it's up to Katie to pick good stuff. If it sucks, then that's because I didn't pick it. And I told Katie, I go, I gotta go to Starbucks. I said, we were supposed to have a staff meeting today. And I said, I'm skipping the staff meeting and I'm going to Starbucks. But what I ended up doing, because I'm a rule follower and I felt guilty, is I listened to the staff meeting on my phone when I went to Starbucks. So I did not, in fact, skip the staff meeting. But I was in the Starbucks line getting my fuel for the rest of the show here, because without that, I was not going to make it to 3 p.m.
I can't believe you did that, because I did the exact same thing.
You got that cup from Starbucks?
No, not Starbucks.
Do you remember when the design of that cup became a t-shirt?
No. Oh, wait. I think I do, actually.
Maybe like, not that one specifically.
But close
it's the blue
to that.
And the purple squigglies. Mm-hmm. It's on. I don't even know what the brand is. All right, you want to dive right into Tucker?
Let's go.
Tucker, this is a public service to you, and this is pieced apart so we can kind of talk about it as we go. And basically, you're seeing the stories evolve with the New York Post, and you're seeing the question is, and this is, I'm going to preface everything that we talk about with these Hunter Biden emails and this laptop. It smells fishy to me that a laptop that contains all of this information gets dropped off at this store to somebody who's blind and can't exactly verify the veracity of who dropped it off. So if you are thinking that, but you don't want to say it out loud because you want the contents of it to be true more than you want to know the details of how it got there, don't push that part away leave yourself open to finding out what the truth is. And the truth is, maybe Hunter Biden did go drop this off and forget that he did it, and then it landed in this person's hand, and they went through it, and they saw all this stuff on it, and turned it over to the FBI. Maybe everything we know is true. Usually everything we know is part of the truth. The question is, what percentage of that accuracy do we have? So keep that in mind, because certainly at this point of time, going into the 2016 election, when the dossier hit and everything, you're like, oh my gosh, this is so salacious, blah, blah, blah. And look at how far they got with it. And it turned out to be completely fabricated. So I'm just, that is the precursor to what we are hearing. However, Hunter Biden has not come out and denied any of this. And of course, last night at the Trump town hall, Donald Trump was aggressively and hostily forced to denounce white supremacy again and QAnon. He apparently is so connected to these two entities that Savannah Guthrie was roughing him up over making sure that he denounced both of these things, but Joe Biden didn't get asked a single flipping question about Hunter's emails. You've got to be kidding me. Oh, and George Stephanopoulos was cuddling with him during the event. It was very strange to watch. Let's listen into what Tucker here has to say. And like I said, this is going to be something that we're going to kind of walk through piece by piece, and we'll get your reaction as we go. This is from Tucker last night.
This morning, the New York Post published a series of emails that describe Hunter Biden's lucrative relationship with a Ukrainian energy company called Burisma, and then describe how his father, then the vice president of the United States, intervened to help his son peddle influence. Now, we've known the outlines of this story for quite some time, but these emails add damning detail. No one appears to dispute that they're real, not even the Joe Biden campaign. You're hearing whispers tonight it's all part of a Russian disinformation campaign. If this is a hoax, it is the most complex, sophisticated hoax ever perpetrated. It doesn't seem possible. There are too many. There's too much detail. These emails came from a laptop, an Apple laptop, that was dropped off at a Delaware computer repair shop last year and then abandoned there. After a certain number of days with no payment, the shop's owner took legal possession of the laptop. He looked inside. There were tens of thousands of emails, including exchanges with representatives of foreign companies and foreign governments. The laptop apparently belonged to Hunter Biden. The shop owner was stunned by this, by the appearance of corruption, and he was afraid for his family. So late last year, he gave the laptop to the FBI. He kept a copy of the hard drive for himself.
So that's the genesis of where this laptop came into the possession of folks, the FBI, and then eventually Rudy Giuliani, which is how we know about it now, and the New York Post as well. Here he continues.
But he never heard back from the FBI. By May, he was anxious, so he made overtures to Senator Mike Lee's office and at least one conservative nonprofit. He emailed their websites, but no one responded. Finally, the man contacted Rudy Giuliani's office, and today's story is the result of that. Well, the tech monopolies instantly crushed it the moment it appeared. An executive at Facebook called Andy Stone, a former Democratic staffer, announced that his company would censor the New York Post story. As he put it, Facebook would be, quote, reducing its distribution on our platform. Twitter quickly followed suit by locking the New York Post's entire Twitter account. One of the biggest newspapers in the world banned from Twitter. Twitter then prevented its users from sharing the New York Post story, both privately and publicly. Those who tried to share it got this message, quote, your tweet couldn't be sent because this link has been identified by Twitter or our partners as being potentially harmful. Harmful? In a separate explanation, Twitter wrote this, quote, we don't permit the use of our services to directly distribute content obtained through hacking that contains private information, may put people in physical harm or danger, or contains trade secrets. Yes. The same Twitter that just promoted a New York Times story about the president's private tax returns, obviously obtained illegally, that Twitter. And who, by the way, was hacked here? No one was hacked. Twitter never addressed that. As for, quote, trade secrets, there were none. We already knew that Hunter Biden was trading on his father's office to make 50 grand a month from the Ukrainians. In October, he admitted it.
You didn't have any extensive knowledge about natural gas or Ukraine itself, though.
No, but I think that I had as much knowledge as anybody else that was on the board, if not more.
In the list that you gave me of the reasons why you're on that board, you did not list the fact that you were the son of the vice president.
Of course, yeah. No.
What role do you think that played?
I think that it is impossible for me to be on any of the boards that I just mentioned without saying that I'm the son of the vice president of the United States.
So you have him going through these emails, and you see the weave that is happening here, where Hunter Biden's access is his purpose is directly connected to his father, who is the vice president of the United States.
So we knew the outlines. What we didn't know until today was how brazen this was. Hunter Biden didn't simply sell access to his father, the vice president, or take cash to influence American foreign policy. No, it's weirder than that. As he schemed to extract more money from Burisma, Hunter Biden didn't refer to his father as his father. He referred to Joe Biden, the vice president, as, quote, my guy. On April 13, 2014, for example, Hunter Biden wrote this to his business partner, quote, the announcement of my guy's upcoming travels should be characterized as part of our advice and thinking, end quote. Hunter Biden added that he needed to be, quote, protected financially and wanted a long-term role with Burisma. Quote, the contract should begin now, not after the upcoming visit of my guy. That should include a retainer in the range of $25,000. It's not clear if Biden got that retainer, but we know he did get a high-paying job at Burisma. Then in May 2014, just weeks after Hunter Biden joined the board of that company, a top executive there let him know why he was being paid. Very explicitly, quote, we urgently need your advice on how you could use your influence to convey a message, signal, etc., to stop what we consider to be politically motivated actions. The executive wrote that in an email. Quote, use your influence to convey a message. What message? What does that mean? Well, another email from the same executive obtained by the New York Post, dated April 17, 2015, explains in very clear terms what it means. Quote, dear Hunter, thank you for inviting me to D.C. and giving an opportunity to meet your father and spend some time together. It's really an honor and pleasure. Oh, that's what you're not allowed to read.
So are we seeing here how this is becoming a problematic? Are we seeing here how the connections, the timelines of the connections are specifically tied to Hunter Biden's relationship with Burisma, their connection to this Ukrainian company, the fact that Ukraine has a prosecutor looking into some goings on in Burisma, that this Ukraine prosecutor needs to go away. Hunter Biden is being asked to use his, quote, influence, his connections to influence, to send a message that suggests positivity around what's going on with Burisma. And within exact proximity of that request, then there's a thank you email to Hunter Biden for setting up a meeting with Hunter Biden's father, Joe Biden. The story gets a little crazier, if you can imagine it, going forward. We've got two more parts to play, and it's really the meat of it. And so you're going to want to stick around, because we're going to play that as soon as we return here. The summation of Tucker's report last night, which was happening while, like I said, George Stephanopoulos was rubbing Joe Biden's shoulders, making him comfortable, getting him something to put his feet up, hot towel. And Savannah Guthrie was in a West Side Story-like fight with Donald Trump. But that one woman said, you got a nice smile, sir. And he was like, he actually, it's the first time I think I've ever seen him look remotely uncomfortable. And it was amazing. He does have a nice smile. He is a handsome dude when he smiles. And 2016, May-ish, 2016 Annie would smack me for saying that. I don't know. There's something about a man with a little bit of authority behind him that makes it look like he's got it together, right, Katie?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Should we start listing names?
No, nope.
We won't. We might do that when we come back. We might play the rest of the Tucker interview. Stick around. We'll be back in a minute.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
TGIF, folks. What a vibe. What is this song? Dancing in the Moonlight? Is this the is this the EDM version?
Yes. Yes, like, it is.
Are they going to get to it? No, because you're supposed to be grooving and dancing. It's some... What is an what was this EDM dance fest that if you would have gone to, would have probably been the super spreader event of,
Buku.
The, of the year?
It was in New Orleans.
You say that Buku and everyone's going, oh, Buku.
Forgot. We forgot people did EDM events.
It was in New Orleans, which was like the second largest hotspot whenever coronavirus came.
Katie messages me and she's like, got all these emojis with the big eyes, like an, a link where it's like Louisiana breaks out with coronavirus. And this is where she was supposed to go be with what? 20,000 sweaty people dancing to EDM.
And before it was in Louisiana, it was in New York, and before that, it was in Wuhan.
Yeah, seriously.
Those t-shirts from the tour are really, really a hot commodity where it's like EDM concert, Wuhan, China.
I'm still getting emails from the festival being like, so are you coming next year? Because I think we're going to do this thing. I'm like,
are you?
No. I'm like, pass. I don't think that that's probably the best bet.
I'm going to give a shout out here to Carlo, who just messaged us on our YouTube page. He was watching last night during the YouTube live that I did while I watched the town halls. That was complicated schizophrenic kind of stuff to do. Like, what do I do? All I could focus on was what I'm missing, which to have that level of FOMO as a political nerd is kind of a bizarre situation. And if you're not familiar with what the kids are saying these days, FOMO is fear of missing out. So if you've never heard that before, but you're going to be around your kids or grandkids, just like slip it into we should just work on we have a millennial vocabulary segment that we used to do. Mm-hmm. We should just tell our folks like the cool words that the kids are saying. And then I want to see you like, I want to know your stories of just casually saying it like this is how mom and dad talk now.
This is who we are.
I've never heard FOMO.
Yeah, you can't act like it's your new, you know, hip word to say. You just gotta deliver it when your kids come home for Thanksgiving like it's just how you talk.
Mm-hmm. Wait, Ryan, you have never heard FOMO?
I've never heard of FOMO, but I'm super into YOLO.
YOLO's come and gone.
Educating the old people.
Yeah. What's this thing called FOMO?
I'm over 50. That's Katie's over 51.
And whenever Katie talks like that, if you're not watching us on the YouTube page, whenever Katie talks like that, she bops her shoulders with each syllable when she's talking like whatever. Is that an old person? Is that a sassy person?
That's a Joe Biden dance.
Oh, so it's an old person. Gotcha.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Everybody over 50 talks like that and is Joe Biden.
False. You know, it's funny to me that like the age that Joe Biden appears is very different than the age that he is. I know people who are like vibrantly youthful in their 80s, and even my grandma, 95, I mean, she lived by herself every day of her life in an independent capacity. And then one day God said, time to come home. And she went home to be with Jesus and with my grandpa. And I look back on that and I think about what a blessing that is. To just one day it's time and then you go home to Jesus. But she, I mean, at 95 years old, this woman was bopping around completely with her wits. So it's I hate making old jokes about it because the age isn't what indicates the capacity. And also Joe Biden's probably a fantastic grandpa and probably still very capable of maybe leading with all of his life experience that he's had, leading a college class at university or something. But like, you don't give him the keys to the entire country, especially if you feel like maybe he's taken advantage of that in the past. We've been walking through what Tucker reported last night, and there's two more parts here that I'm going to play for you. And this is where it starts to get a little interesting.
You can see why Facebook and Twitter don't want to allow you to read it. If Joe Biden met with Burisma executives at the request of his son for the profit of his own family, it becomes very clear that Joe Biden's previous denials were lies. Just last year, Joe Biden was telling us he had no idea what his son was doing at Burisma.
You were the vice president running point on Ukraine. The average Joe hears that and says, that sounds fishy. What's your understanding of what your son was doing for an extraordinary amount of money?
I don't know what he was doing. I know he was on the board. I found out he was on the board after he was on the board. And that was it. And there's nobody...
Well, you've had a lot of time. Isn't this something you want to get to the bottom of?
No, because I trust my son.
But that doesn't pass the smell test. Like, when you're vice president, isn't there a higher standard? Don't you need to know what's happening with your family? Don't you need to put down some guardrails?
Unless there was something that was... there was something on its face that was wrong. There's nothing on its face that was wrong.
Nothing on its face that was wrong. That was before we saw these emails. You'll remember that back in 2018, Joe Biden explained that he got the top prosecutor in Ukraine fired. That prosecutor, Viktor Shokin, said he was planning to investigate Burisma when he was stripped of his job. Here's how Joe Biden explained slash bragged about how he canned Viktor Shokin.
I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to press conference. Said, "No," I said, "I'm not going to. We're not going to give you $1 billion." They said, "You have no authority. You're not the president." The president said, "I said, call him." I said, "I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion." I said, "You're not getting the billion. I'm going to be leaving here." And I think it was, 6 hours? I looked, I said, "I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money." Oh, son of a bitch. Got fired.
Yeah, we can leave that if the vice president says that, right? So we're leading up to here. Burisma hires Hunter. Hunter has no experience whatsoever to be working in some high, like, massive energy company. He doesn't know anything about it. But Hunter Biden gets hired at Burisma. Then Hunter Biden is asked to use his influence. And Hunter Biden is told that they need a show of goodwill surrounded by people of influence to make sure that some of the people looking into Burisma, that it starts to look a little bit better. Because when you're surrounded by people of high profile and influence, of course, you look better. Katie, what are you doing? I thought that was going to be Mariah Carey. I don't want to laugh for Christmas. And I'm like, if you play the first Christmas song on the show and I haven't sanctioned it, then everything is now up for grabs. So Hunter Biden is hired by Burisma. Hunter Biden is asked to include his influence to make Burisma look better because they're being investigated by this prosecutor in Ukraine. And Hunter Biden is asked to set up a meeting with these people of influence. We have an email that says, "Thank you for setting us up so that we could meet your dad." And then we have this conversation, which we've been hearing for quite some time. The son of a bee, the prosecutor, got fired. Joe Biden's own words there are that he said, "There's no $1 billion if you don't fire this prosecutor." And the timeline is super suspicious. Here's the last part of last night's report.
Why is the vice president of the United States firing prosecutors in Ukraine? Pause for a moment and ask yourself that. That's bizarre behavior. It doesn't help the United States in any way. Why was he doing that? At the time, Biden's handlers denied there was anything wrong with this. They just said Shokin was corrupt and somehow the world was benefiting by Shokin getting fired. They didn't explain how he'd benefit from that. But of course, Joe Biden didn't do it for his son. He didn't know anything about Burisma. He didn't know what Hunter Biden was up to. No clue. Then last October, we showed you a photograph of Joe and Hunter Biden golfing with a board member at Burisma, Hunter Biden's business partner, a man called Devin Archer. The Biden campaign never explained that photograph. Our media, of course, never really followed up. Instead, just as they're now rushing to bury the New York Post story, CNN rushed into Joe Biden's defense.
The impeachment inquiry is centered on President Trump's attempts to get political dirt from Ukraine on Vice President Biden and his son Hunter. Mr. Vice President, President Trump has falsely accused your son of doing something wrong while serving on a company board in Ukraine. I want to point out there's no evidence of wrongdoing by either one of you.
Oh, thanks, Anderson.
A few months later, we got some sense why Anderson Cooper was so careful in the interview you just saw. In December, a voter in Iowa tried to ask Joe Biden about Burisma and his fitness for office. Joe Biden lost control of himself. He called the man fat and then challenged him to a push-up contest.
"That damn liar, man. That's not true. And no one has ever said that. And you want to check my shape on him? Let's do push-ups together, man. Let's run. Let's do whatever you want to do. Let's take down the people."
Yeah, that's right. You clap for Joe Biden.
"I set up my son to work in an oil company. Isn't that what you said? Get your words straight, Jack. But look, fat, look, here's the deal."
Here's the deal. What is the deal? actually? That's a question every American, no matter what your political views, has a right to an answer.
So true, Tucker. So true. What do you think, Ryan? I mean, when you get walked through that whole thing and you see the connections, the specific connection, the first question you have about Burisma and Hunter Biden is, why Hunter Biden? And that question has been asked by to Hunter Biden. And he's like, well, he basically said, I wouldn't have had a lot of things in my life if my last name wasn't Biden. And then you start seeing the requests that are being made of Hunter and the requests that were being fulfilled by Hunter in connection with Joe Biden. And then you see that there is $1 billion in loan guarantees from the United States that was withheld from Ukraine until Ukraine fired a prosecutor that was looking into the company that Hunter Biden worked for. Oh, I wonder why they hired Hunter Biden in the first place. Probably so that they could get a prosecutor who was looking into the goings-on at Burisma fired so that Burisma could continue to do what they were wanting to do. There's definitely a circle here that you can connect.
Here's the problem with this for me. A lot of it is based on things that we already knew about Hunter Biden. It's going deeper, and so that's why the story is interesting. But I do think that we're walking a line here where technically nothing that Hunter Biden has done is criminal. And until we see for sure that
selling influence of the vice president of the United States,
it's super corrupt. And Donald Trump was impeached for less. But I still don't know that we've crossed into criminal territory, except that clip you played yesterday of Rudy Giuliani reading those texts. That's why that dropped my jaw, is because that was implying that Joe Biden was also on the take financially. Then we definitely are into criminal territory.
Yeah, I think we are definitely wading into criminal territory for sure. Let's take a quick break. Katie, as that was, Tucker was playing there, I was laughing, trying not to laugh on the microphone, because my mom messaged me. She said, sign me up for the Educating the Old People program. And then she said, before you even said that, I Googled EDM.
We forgot to say what that was.
And then she sent me a picture text message that says, what is this? And it's a picture. And she said, and what is this? JX Balvin. And it's a picture of the McDonald's drive thru. And it's their latest collaboration meal.
Oh, right.
I don't know who is it JX? I'm probably not even saying this right.
I don't.
Mom.
It's a rapper. Mm-hmm.
If you're old, I've officially arrived. I don't know. I've seen ads for it, but the person is not relevant to me. But if anybody is interested in ordering it, it's a Big Mac, medium fries, and an Oreo McFlurry.
Sounds like it. A regular meal.
This is right after their Travis Scott meal. Is that right?
After, mm-hmm. after you go, at what age of life do you start understanding less than half of what's going on around you? Because this pervasive, you know, young culture driven by the teen and the early 20s age, like, you've just like, I don't know what anybody is saying. And I really don't care. You know, I guess we have Google now.
That's
Katie, what's EDM for the rest of the folks who are...
Electronic dance music.
Which is kind of like this.
Yep.
And they take real music and they basically remix it, right?
Yep, put
and
a little beat on it.
Make it sound a little hipper and cooler, and the cool cats like Katie go dance in places.
It can't be original?
There is some original. Okay. Yeah, there's some original.
Who wants that? All right. A little EDM to take you into the break. Stick around when we come back. More reaction to this. Reading your comments as we are watching them come in here en masse on the Annie Fry YouTube page. Go join the chat there and tell us what you're thinking about this. We'll include it in the show. We'll be right back.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Katie just sent me this article talking about how Sean Diddy Combs, speaking of being relevant based on different generations, Sean Diddy Combs is launching his own political party. It's called the Our Black Party, promises to be inclusive of both sides of the political aisle. Can you be white and be in this group? Does it say that?
I don't think
the
you
title
can.
Would suggest no, but
black-centric political party. So I don't think so.
Puff Daddy tweeted, that's not his name anymore. Diddy tweeted yesterday evening, white men like Trump need to be banished. And he also said the mission is to create a platform to help advance a political agenda that addresses the needs of black people. So going forward, we aren't in the same position we are today. Visit ourblackparty.org for more information. I have read through. Ice Cube is another rapper who was a part of NWA. If you're not familiar with, I don't know, there's probably more people in our audience that are familiar with NWA. But Ice Cube has put together this contract with Black America. I would love to get him on the show to talk about what he's trying to accomplish there. I read through the whole contract with Black America. Have you guys seen this yet?
I've seen the story. I haven't seen the contract. Mm-hmm.
So I read through the whole thing last night to see what he was asking for, because Ice Cube, who wrote a song, I think, about killing Donald Trump, maybe in the last few years, like maybe 2017, he puts together this contract with Black America, and it's asking for specific things, and it's specifically to close a whole bunch of different things that are going to help close the wage gap between white America and Black America. That's the point of what Ice Cube is trying to do. And he took the contract with Black America to the Democrats, and he took it to the Republicans. The Republicans sat down with him and used part of the things that he has in the contract with Black America in their Platinum Plan, which they announced in Atlanta a few weeks ago. I think Chris Arps was supposed to attend that. I think he was part of that announcement. I don't know if he ended up actually attending, but he was there when it happened. So the Platinum Plan is the president's administration's plan to invest in Black America. And he's already done that. And he did such a great job last night of pushing back on Savannah Guthrie's mean girl question about why denounce white supremacy once and for all. That's not what she said, but she might as well have. And he did what he should have done the first time. He should have talked about his accomplishments the first time regarding what he's done for Black America.
You were asked point blank to denounce white supremacy. In the moment, you didn't. You asked some follow-up questions, who specifically. A couple of days later, on a different show, you denounced white supremacy.
No,
my question to you is,
you've done this to me and everybody.
Why does it seem like
I denounce white supremacy, okay?
You did 2 days later.
I've denounced white supremacy for years, but you always do it. You always start off with a question. You didn't ask Joe Biden whether or not he denounces Antifa. I watched him on the same basic show with Lester Holt, and he was asking questions like Biden was a child.
This is a little bit of a dodge.
Are you listening? I denounce white supremacy.
Okay.
What's your next question?
Do you feel, it feels sometimes you're hesitant to do so, like you
hesitant.
Wait a beat.
Here we go again. Every time, in fact, my people came, I'm sure they'll ask you the white supremacy question. I denounce white supremacy.
Okay.
And frankly, you want to know something? I denounce Antifa, and I denounce these people on the left that are burning down our cities that are run by Democrats who don't know what they're doing.
While we're denouncing.
Well, he went on to say, Right after that, and we don't have that part in the clip, but he went on to talk about what he has done. He talked about Tim Scott, what Tim Scott has led us through over the course of last night's town hall, about the reform bill that Tim Scott put together that absolutely should have been signed. He went and talked about opportunity zones. He talked about everything that he's been doing to invest in Black America. And I think he said last night, I've done more for Black America than any president has done in the past, or something to that effect. He has accomplishments. He has what the kids call receipts that suggest that I have done things and I can prove it. And he said it last night to Savannah Guthrie, who, of course, wasn't accepting that whole process. So going back to Ice Cube puts together this contract with Black America. And I know that many of you, the majority of you listening, are Trump supporters or you're conservatives or you're Republicans. You're going to read the contract with Black America and some things are going to make you go, we're not doing that. There are other things in there that I think we should be doing that yesterday. The only way you can make those decisions on something like that is if you sit down and you read it, right? And if you sit down and you consider it, you can consider the entirety of something and accept none of it, but you can't. You can't, in an intellectual way, accept none of it without looking at what's actually in it, right? I mean, ask Nancy Pelosi that. We have to pass the bill to see what's in it. Good grief. So Ice Cube takes the contract with Black America to both political parties, and the Trump administration says, let's sit down and talk about this. The Trump administration used points from Ice Cube's contract with Black America and put it in the Platinum Plan. They adjusted the direction they were going. Because Ice Cube sat down with him and they talked about it. And again, I think it is so incredibly important to understand that there are things in the contract with Black America that are potentially, in my opinion, un-American, because they don't, it's just not the way that America goes about capitalist society. But if there is a wage gap, if there is an opportunity gap, which is what I would like to talk about, Not a number in a bank account. Because you can give me $1,000, you can give Katie $1,000, you can give Ryan $1,000. We all have different obligations in our lives, and we can spend those $1,000 on anything we want to. We're going to spend it differently. And once that money becomes ours, if you're just handing a check to us and we can do whatever we want with it, then you don't really get to say, as the giver, what they're going to do with it. If you give it as an opportunity for tax credits, incentives for people, for minority-owned businesses to build up in a place that maybe could use business growth, like opportunity zones. Invest in these communities to help people get that start that's going to put them in a position to create something that is then going to be able to hire new people who are going to come from these communities as well. That is an investment. That's not a handout. It's a big difference. Ice Cube goes to the Republican Party. They sit down and they talk to him. They take some of the things that he said and they change their plan right away. You know what the Democrats said to him? Come back after the election. The Democrats told Ice Cube, we will talk about this after the election. What more, folks, do you need to know? One side is listening. One side says, literally, verbatim, if you don't vote for me, you ain't Black. They don't think that they don't want to hear anything from you. They don't want to know what you think about things. They don't want to hear your demands. They don't want to know why you think that the system as it, the way it is set up right now with Democrats, ask LBJ, who after John F. Kennedy was shot and LBJ absorbed the civil rights movement that JFK was leading, said that they'd have Black people voting Democrat for decades after this. Take it, they're taking it for granted, folks. And there's a side that's willing to listen. Does that mean that, do I want the Trump administration to sit down and do whatever Ice Cube says, lip service, so that we can get 30% of the Black vote instead of 8% of the Black vote? No. But if I'm a person of color who feels as though there is an opportunity gap for Black Americans, I want to know that somebody's willing to listen. The Democrats aren't. And that's really, it's really that simple. And if you go to Ice Cube's Twitter page, I encourage you to do this. Katie and Ryan, maybe we can put together a blog post where we embed the top video that he has pinned. Because it's like an 8-minute video. I watched the whole thing. Diddy here launching his own political party. I don't think that the Republican Party is losing a lot of votes when Ice Cube is saying, you know, like he's not throwing his support behind Joe Biden.
I don't know that they're flocking to Donald Trump to vote for him. I don't know that Diddy launching his own party is going to take away, you know, 2% of the 8% of the black vote that Trump got last time. But if I'm a Democrat, if I'm running a Democrat campaign right now, and Ice Cube is out there saying, hey, the Trump administration sat down with me and the Democrats told me to come back afterwards, I'm pissed off.
So a fan of Ice Cube said, my hip hop hero Ice Cube is working with the dark side. I haven't felt this low since Kobe passed. Heartbreaking. Cube, I'm not sure if you understand how much we value your voice. And when we see you jumping the shark, it kills us, especially in 2020. Ice Cube replied back, every side is the dark side for us here in America. They're all the same until something changes for us. They all lie and they all cheat, but we can't afford to not negotiate with whoever is in power, or our condition in this country will never change. Justice is bipartisan. And I hope the people that refuse to go see Trump in the White House when they win something big in sports take note of this.
Yes.
Because this is how you change something. It's not you, you know,
grandstanding.
Grandstanding, saying, oh, I'm making a stand because I'm not going to go see Trump. No, it's you saying this is a person I don't like and I'm going to go negotiate for what I want.
Yeah. Folks, don't listen to what Ice Cube is doing and saying and hear that there's going to be some massive red pilling of every black American who's going to now understand that Donald Trump is the Lord of all. That's not what we're talking about here. But there is a crack in the understanding of what a political party is supposed to do for you. And if you are a black American and you think that there is an opportunity gap, and the Democrat Party said you come back after the election, the Democrat Party expects something from you, and they expect your vote before they're willing to help. And Ice Cube is proof of that. I've got a really important question to ask you about this when we come back. Stick around. Don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.